why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China.
A lot of people say it's racist.
It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China. That's why.
Today on Vox Talks, some people are blaming China for COVID-19. And what's the effect of that on the Asian community? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Well, thanks in no small part to the President of the United States, many people now blame China for causing COVID-19. Has this led to an increase in racial insults against Asian people? And might this lead to more serious consequences as well? Well, Runjing Liu of the University of Alberta and Yanying Sheng of the University of California at San Diego have published their research on this in issue 39 of COVID Economics. And Runjing joins me today. Welcome to Vox Talks.
Hi, team. Nice to talk to you.
First of all, have you or your family or your friends experienced these racial insults or other discrimination as a result of COVID-19?
So I myself, luckily, have not experienced racial insults as a result of COVID-19, but I do have an Asian friend who lives in New York who got verbally insulted by a stranger on the street in around March because she wore a mask at that time. So this incident indeed made me very concerned about wearing masks in the public in the early days of the pandemic. So sometimes I deliberately chose not to, even though I knew that wearing masks was an effective way to protect myself and others at that time. But luckily right now, there seems to be a social norm of wearing masks all the time right now. So we are all good, at least in the areas that I live in now.
Now, let's have a look at this research that you did. Now, to do this, you used the frequency of Google searches for a particular racial slur that's often used against Asians. We'll call it the C word for the purposes of what we're doing today. This is a Google search. Do we have evidence that this is a good proxy for racial animus in the real world?
Right. So we are not the first ones to construct or to measure racial animus using Google searches. There have been other researchers who have used Google searches for the N-word to measure racial animus against African Americans. So the N-word is a very bad racial slur against African Americans in the United States. For example, Stephen Stavridor's 2013 paper found that regions with higher Google searches for the N-word saw fewer votes for Obama during the 2008 presidential election. And also another paper by Anderson and co-authors found that areas with higher Google searches for the N-word see more hate crimes against African Americans. And so similarly, in our paper, we show that in months when a county experienced higher Google searches for the C word, it also had higher anti-Asian hate crimes in the same month during the 2014 and 2018 period. And these counties that experienced higher Google searches for that month also saw fewer visits to Chinese restaurants during that month between 2018 and 2019.
So you're looking at local searches, which Google Search can, of course, do, and then you're aggregating it up.
I'm aggregating it up at the local level.
I see.
Yeah. So the assumption behind this construction of measurement of racial animus is that we only require when an area has higher racial animus, the local residents tend to search these racial slurs more. We don't require everybody who harbors this racial animus to do the search. As long as those that harbor it search it more, then when we're aggregating up millions of searches from the local residents in that local area, that Google searches for these racial slurs can be used to reflect offline racial animus.
Now, you also had a look at Twitter as well, didn't you? And that is quite the opposite, because that is by definition very, very public. And so was there a rise in the use of this term on Twitter as well?
Yes, there indeed a rise in Twitter as well. So in the first week following the first confirmed COVID case in a county, we see an 120% increase in tweets that mention the C word, which is quite a sizable increase. And moreover, the majority of these racially charged tweets posted after the COVID-19 come from Twitter users who have never tweeted this racial slur before. So to be more specific, in the 4 weeks following the first COVID case, over 2,000 Twitter users start to use these racial slurs C word for the first time. And these Twitter users may have potentially exposed their 4 million followers to racially charged content and can have a multiplier effect on racial animus down the road. What's more alarming is that the majority of these racially charged content issued by these 2,000 Twitter users, they are no longer directly related to COVID anymore because majority of them did not mention any keywords related to COVID-19. COVID-19 seems to have induced Twitter users to start harboring racial animus, or at least to start publicly expressing their racial animus.
But where we're going with this then, Runjing, is we've moved into a causal link here, haven't we? And a lot of this research on social media especially can establish correlation but not causality. So how do you do that?
Right. The way that we do it is by exploiting the variation in the timing of first confirmed COVID case in different areas across the United States. Because as we know, there have been multiple cases in the US in different areas. So our identifying assumption is that the exact timing of this first case in a local area is plausibly exogenous. That means that whether the first case is diagnosed this week or the next week is not predictable and is not correlated with other factors that may simultaneously drive the change in racial animus. So if we believe these assumptions, then if we see a change in racial animus following the first confirmed COVID case in the local area, then we can attribute this change to the COVID first case. And just to give more support for this identification strategy, we could also do a placebo test where we could just use a fake COVID date. So basically, we know the actual COVID confirmed date for each area. We could just change the year 2020 to the year 2019 and to see whether there is any change in racial animus measured by Google searches or Twitter posts in that same area around those fake COVID confirmed dates. And we find nothing. Google searches or Twitter posts are basically very flat during those fake dates.
Is it just the health effect or the economic effect of going into lockdown that's working here? Or are politicians and the media helping to cause this racial animus?
There are multiple factors that are contributing to this rise in racial animus. One thing, I think, is infection risk. So infection risk of COVID-19 could play an important role in driving this rise in racial animus. So for one thing, evolutionary psychologists have long argued that desire to avoid infectious disease could lead to prejudice against our groups. And also surveys in March and April also found that Americans were indeed very worried about contracting this virus. But the second more important factor that we think that's driving this rise is the salience of purported connection between the virus and the Asian population. So one thing is that we found racial animus is stronger on days and hours when the purported connection is more salient. And we measured the salience of this purported connection using President Trump's tweets about both China and COVID. So what we found is that racial animus is stronger on days and in hours when President Trump tweeted more about China and COVID at the same time. But these tweets are not more stronger when President Trump only tweeted about China or only tweeted about COVID. So it has to be the case that he tweeted both in the same tweet. And the second piece of evidence suggesting that salience of purported connection is important is that we find that the rise in racial animus is targeted at Asians only, because we can use the same way that we construct measurement of racial animus against Asians to construct measurement of animus against other minorities in the US, for example, against Hispanics, Jewish, and African-Americans. Americans, but we do not see much change of these measured racial animus against them around the first COVID confirmed case in a local area. And finally, many people might have thought that the negative economic impact brought by COVID-19 could also play a role in the rise of racial animus. But what we found is that at least in this initial period of the pandemic, the economic situation doesn't seem to play a huge role in driving this initial rise in racial animus. And the reason I said it is because we could basically split areas into those that experience more economic impact. For example, those that have more employment in the hardest hit industries and those areas with fewer negative impact from COVID. But we don't find that there is any difference in reaction in terms of racial animus between these two areas.
Now we're talking a lot about social media on Vox Talks at the moment. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, we interviewed Maria Petrova about how extremists in Russia have been using social media. She managed to identify the causal effect of an increase in xenophobic attacks. Now, on that basis, and are you worried about the impact of COVID-19 on discrimination, but also racial violence against the Asian community?
Yeah, I am indeed worried about it. So as we have shown in the paper that during the months when the county experienced higher Google searches for the C word, it also experienced higher anti-Asian hate crimes, which well include this violence against Asians during 2014 to 2018. So the rise in hate crimes against Asians could be happening right now, but because we lack these hate crime data, so we won't be able to examine this hypothesis right now. But one silver lining of this current situation I do want to point out is that social distancing and lockdown could make people stay at home more and avoid human contact. So this kind of in-person racial violence may be alleviated to some extent because people are not out around on the street. But it's hard to tell when the lockdown and social distancing is lifted. How will that turn out? It's still a question that needs to be answered.
We're in a very unusual situation when we're saying that it's good news that people can only be racist at home, isn't it? Is there anything that we can do to make this better?
I think there are two things, at least two things that we could do. The first is that we need to educate the public about the disease dissemination and emphasize that race per se is not a factor determining the dissemination of this infectious disease. I think we need to make this point very clear to the public. And the second thing I think that could help is to delink any purported connection between infectious disease and any certain groups, because as we've shown in this paper, salience of the purported connection between the disease and the Asian population is a key factor driving the racial animus rise. So try to delink any purported connection would be helpful.
Let's hope that happens. Ranjing, thank you very much.
Thank you very much too.
The paper we've been talking about is called From Fear to Hate, How the COVID-19 Pandemic Sparks Racial Animus in the United States. And the authors are Runjing Liu and Yanging Sheng, and it is in COVID Economics 39, so check it out. The episode that we also talked about on the xenophobic attacks in Russia, that's called Does Social Media Make Us Xenophobic? And it was a Vox Talk that we put out on the 14th of August this year, so that's well worth a listen as well. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research, so why don't you subscribe to Vox Talks and you never miss an episode. And there's always 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.